A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Daf Pei, Ksubas 80A, pagination is 159. Starting from the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, Ibo'i Lehu, they asked the following question. And the question pertains to Nichse Malug, property that the woman brought into the marriage, where the rule is that the keren, the principal, the actual item, continues to belong to the woman, but the husband is allowed to reap the benefits during the marriage. And the question over here is, Baal shemachar karka leperos mahu. What happens if the man sells his rights to this item, and he's going to generate money or benefit or whatever it is, but he's making a sale that is long-term for the duration of the marriage or similar, a few years. Is he allowed to do that, or does Nichse Melug have to run its course, and as it generates benefit, they can enjoy the benefit, but he can't do this interesting calculation that he could sell the futures of the benefit to somebody else and get money now? What is the nature of the question, the logic underlying the question? Mi amrinan, do we say, my dekani ikni, whatever it is that he owns here, that's what he granted to the buyer, and it works. Odilma, or maybe, Kita kinu le rabbanan peros, the reason that the rabbis designated the benefit of nichse melug to the husband, the reason these items are gifted into the marriage or she inherits them, that they decided that he should be allowed to benefit from them, takinu le rabbanan peros labal, the reason he's allowed, misham ravach beisa, in order that there should be additional benefit in the house, but they never said that he's allowed to sell them, generate some quick cash, and then he's going to go out and spend it. And then in 2 years' time, she's going to be constrained because there's no income. And he's going to say, well, I already sold the benefits that are being generated year by year. We don't want that to happen. Let it generate year by year and let her have a more pleasant life, that there's something being generated. Yehuda Mar Bar Marimar Mishmei Durava Omar Masha Osa Osui. This rabbi quoted in the name of Rava that it's a good sale. It's a valid sale, whether you're supposed to do it, not supposed to do it, but it works. And we're going to see that this was actually a misunderstanding. It doesn't work. But he thought that it works. And that's how he quoted Rava. Rav Papi Oma Mishmei de Rava, lo osav lo klum. Rav Papi quoted in the name of Rava that it doesn't work. Oma Rav Papa said, I'd like to explain to you how this misunderstanding occurred. Because Hod Yehuda Mar Bar Marimar Lav Beferish Itmar Elamachlola Itmar. Because the quote of the rabbi who said that the sale works was not an actual quote from Rava, their teacher, but rather a ruling that he issued in a specific case, which resulted in their thinking that that was the reasoning for the ruling. But in actuality, they misunderstood the reasoning for the ruling. And we'll do the case in a second, but to bear in mind that Maise Rav, an actual occurrence, is sometimes the most valid proof, and sometimes a weak proof, not a proof at all. Sometimes it's a very valid proof, because you could argue all you want, and you could say any logic you want, and you could say that the halacha is like somebody, but until you actually paskin a shaila like your reasoning, it hasn't really truly been codified. On the other hand, a maisa rav, an actual event, can be the weakest of proofs, Because unless you know the real reason for the ruling, there's so many different nuances to every case, and you don't know why the ruling truly was issued. And in that regard, it's far better for the Rebbe to teach you the halacha is as such. So here's the story. Dahi itza, there was a woman, da'ayla la legavra tarti amhasa. She brought into the marriage two maid servants. Ozal gavra, then the husband went, nasiv itza achariti, and he married a second wife, which in the time of the Gemara was permitted. Not commonly practiced, but it was done. Great people typically didn't have more than one wife. We see that by Avram and Sarah. Avram's not taking a second wife. Yitzchak simply wouldn't. Yaakov only took multiple wives because of the specific circumstances that he was in. But in any case, this man took a second wife. And what he did was, he took one of the maidservants that was brought in by the first wife and allocated it to the needs of the second wife. Now, in logic, we understand what he's doing. The servant belongs to the woman, the first wife. However, the benefits from the servant, the work, the peiros, are going to belong to the husband. So the husband can do whatever he wants with that time allocation, with generating the benefit. And he chose to give it to the second wife. Asoi lekamei derava, this woman came in front of Rava, tzavcha, and she screamed. How could it be that he's taking the servant away from me? And it's like a long-term engagement. He's assigning it to the other person for whatever benefit he's getting. He's getting benefit right now that he gets a second wife, but he's taking away from me the ongoing daily or yearly benefit of this servant working. Lo ashkachba, and Rava did not take her claim seriously. Man dechaza, the rabbi who was quoting Rava as allowing such sales, savar mishum de savar masha asa asui. He got the impression that Rava held, whether you're supposed to do it or not supposed to do it, but it's a valid engagement. He committed the second servant to the second wife, and it's done. Velohi. But Rav Papa says that's not the real explanation in what Rava was thinking when he ignored the first wife's claims. The real reason is Misham Ravach Besa, because the underlying reason that you're not allowed to make this type of futures sale is because we want the benefit to be available on an ongoing basis, and we don't want it to be sold in one shot and then spent, and then there's nothing left. However, over here, v'haka ravach, they're indeed benefiting. As a household, it's going to be an ongoing situation where this second maidservant is indeed going to continue working and doing things for the household. V'hilchasa, and therefore the Gemara concludes that the halacha is Baal Shamacha Karka Leperos, when a husband tries to sell the produce of the field for long-term period, Lo Asa V'lo Klum, it doesn't work, he's not allowed to do that. Keep in mind, the reason that this wording is used, Karka Leperos, what he's selling is his share in the land vis-a-vis the fruit that's going to be generated in the coming years. A person can't sell the fruit of the coming years because the fruit is not here yet. But he's selling his rights in the land which will generate those fruit. It's a specific way that the transaction would have to be worded. And we're saying that that type of transaction doesn't work because that's not the way a husband's relationship with Nichse Malug works, because we're worried about Ravach Besa, the benefit of the house, on an ongoing basis. Now, the Gemara asks that question, my timer, what indeed is the reason for this ruling? Abaye Omar, Abaye says, Chayshinon Shematachsif, a different reason. Abaye says, because we're worried that if you give the field over to a different person, he's going to abuse the field. He's going to take whatever he can out of the field without adding care, nutrients to the field. He's not going to take care of it. And she's going to be left with the land, but it's going to be damaged land. Rava Omar Mishum Ravach Besa. But as we've been saying, Rava says it's because of the benefit for the household. We want an ongoing income rather than a quick fix that he might spend. My Benayu, what's the difference between Abaya's approach that the land will be abused and Rava's approach that it's Ravach Besa, that we want an ongoing income? And the Gemara answers, Ika Benayu Aro de Mekarev Lamosa. Difference is a land that's close to the city. According to Abaye, that we're worried that the buyer is going to abuse it. So if it's close to the city, we can keep an eye out on him and we'll make sure that he does industry standards. But if it's far away, it leaves us vulnerable because we don't know what he's doing. And Abaye would say that a far away field, you wouldn't be allowed to do this, but he would find leniency to do this if it's a close field. According to Rava, however, there is no difference. It's all about Ravach Besa. It's all about an ongoing income, and therefore we would need to annul that sale and ensure that the field produces on an ongoing basis for the benefit of the family. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.